Very good, ensemble. Appreciate that. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. And we'll begin at verse 34. Luke 23 and verse 34. I wrote this message several weeks ago, and I couldn't help but think about it during pastor school. The theme was about the cross, and in that huge auditorium, they had a giant cross right in the front. Of course, we had great seats, and I was sitting right about where Kenny is in comparison, and there was this huge cross right here in the middle. The platform comes to a point, and they had a cross right there, and it went all the way up, just a huge cross, and just forcing you to look at the cross. They had crosses all over the property, and especially in the foyer area, and literally people were running into the cross everywhere they went, and just a great idea, really. And I'm watching, especially tall people, you know, they're ducking and having to get around, and you're trying to get through, and there's crosses everywhere, and the idea is you know, you just keep running into the cross. And you know, we need to think about the cross all the time. And it was just, it was such a fantastic time, but many graphic ideas of Jesus hanging on that cross, and the medical report, and I've read that before, and just different things, but I kept thinking about the message tonight, certainly a message that we all need. In Luke 23, verse 34, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews." Father, I ask you to help us tonight to really understand this passage of Scripture and understand what Jesus did when he requested that we be forgiven. Just amazing to me. Amazing that we could be forgiven. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and give us what we need tonight as we study thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I preached on when my foot slippeth, and by the way, we all will someday, we all have. And then tonight I was thinking about this, that tonight now you go the next step, and that's when somebody's foot slips and it affects you. Somebody messes up and it hurts you. Somebody backslides and it hurts you. Somebody gets himself in trouble, and it has some sort of effect on you. I want to talk to you tonight about how to forgive. I don't know of a better place to go to than the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. I don't know any better way to see the kind of forgiveness that we need to have in our lives that will change our lives than to go to Jesus hanging here on the cross. Of course, Jesus has been beaten with the cat of nine tails. And again, just a descriptive idea of that, as you look at the Scripture, if you know what a cat of nine tails is, and literally the lashes would tear the skin from a body and literally would pull that skin from the victim. 39 times many died just from that beating. Of course, Jesus' beard was pulled out. He was beaten with fists, with rods, with the reed. The crown of thorns was stuck down. I mean, don't ever get the idea the crown of thorns was just lightly placed on his head. It was stuck into his scalp, and blood was everywhere. And the blood was mixed with the spit of men. He was cursed. He was hung naked. He was nailed to a cross. And he did that because of our sin. And our sin was on the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't his sin. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. He never sinned. And then amazingly, in verse 34, I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. Jesus says, all of that is going on, all that blood, all the spit, all the beating that he's taken, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's amazing to me. Those amazing words. It's an amazing act that Jesus carries out. And I, you know, all the temptations and all that he went through and everything that he did, it is maybe the most amazing thing that he calls for forgiveness here. To me, that just shows the love of God for you and I. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He who never sinned is suffering for the sinners who he forgives. He who never did wrong has wrong put on him, so that he has to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that same Jesus forgives those who sinned. And he forgives you and I. He forgave them. Not only did he not destroy those people, as Brother Letson and the choir, they did the Christmas cantata, and we see the angels with their swords ready to draw those swords and come and get him. And wow, you know, he didn't call for that. He didn't call to come down off the cross. He didn't call to have them destroyed. He says, forgive them. I read that, and I've read it over and over and over now for several weeks, and just thought about how he forgave. Do you understand? Jesus did not wish for those who punched him, those who took rods and beat him. He didn't wish for the guard that whipped him and peeled his flesh from him, nor the guard that nailed him to that cross. He didn't wish for anything bad to happen to them. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't want them to suffer themselves. He didn't want them to be hurt themselves. He certainly could have made it happen. He could have brought all kinds of pain on every one of them. He could have caused their death. He could have said words that we often say, well, I'll get even with them. He didn't do that, though. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't use the words that we often say, well, they deserve this, and I'll make it happen. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them. And certainly he never said these words, I'll kill them. He could have killed them. But instead he said, Father, forgive them. Every thought that we have ever had toward other people who maybe have slipped and done something to us. And all over this room, everybody's been done wrong by somebody. Sometime. Every thought we've ever had in those instances, maybe it was at work, maybe it was in your home, maybe you were a child, I don't know what it might have been, but every thought we've ever thought, he could have done. Well, I'll show you one of these days when you're not looking, I'll... Yeah, and he could have done that. But instead, he forgave. Instead, he chose to forgive. There's no animosity here. There's no hate here. He's dying for them. He's dying for us. He's forgiving us. He's forgiving them. That's why, perfect example of how to forgive. He's dying for them. And let me just submit to you, by way of introduction, that is how we forgive. What are you talking about? Well, you have to die for them. What do you mean? Well, that's how you forgive. If I'm going to forgive Tim, if Tim does something wrong to me and I'm going to forgive him, I'm going to have to die for him. Well, I'm not physically going to have to die. I'm going to have to die to myself. That's how you forgive. By the way, that's why we have such a hard time forgiving. There's folks in this room, I'm telling you, your life would be so much better if you'd forgive. There's folks in this room, you have been hurt, somebody slipped and hurt you, and you've been hurt, and you've been affected, and everybody here can say, oh yeah, that's me. But listen to me, you would have a better Christian life, you'd have a better testimony, you would be happier, you'd have joy, if you just would learn how to forgive. And it all starts with the cross. You have to die. Jesus died for them, and how to forgive. My will has to die. Yeah. You say, I'll show you, I'll get even with you. No, you just need to die. Die for them. Well, I hope they suffer. No, you need to die to that. And you need to die. And my will has to die for His will. And instead of saying, I hope they suffer, you need to say, I hope they prosper. As Jesus hangs on the cross and blood is everywhere and the pain is excruciating, instead of thinking, I hope you suffer, He's thinking, I hope you prosper. You're thinking, oh, I wish they would just die and go to hell. And He's thinking, oh no, I want them to go to heaven. But the only way is to die to your own emotions, your own thoughts, your own flesh. You have to die to it. Jesus said it best in dying on the cross. He said, not my will, thy will be done. And you know, that hanging on the cross, is that's what that's all about. It's all about dying to your will. That's how you forgive. Let me show you some things here. Just several points that I got out of this passage. Number one, we need to forgive by following. Forgive by following. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And like so many things in our Christians' lives, God gives instructions. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Watch it. Forgiving one another. Again, this is talking about Christians here. Forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You say, I can't forgive them. They did me wrong. I just can't do it. Listen to me. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We forgive by following, by being like Christ. That is Christ-like. Our goal, according to Romans 8:29, is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His goal for me. That's His goal for you. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It is His goal that we be conformed to the image of His Son. How can I be the most Christ-like? You forgive. How can I show Christ? You know, I've got good standards, and I don't drink liquor, and I don't smoke, and I don't do drugs. But you've got all kinds of bitterness in your heart towards somebody. And I got news for you. You are so far from Christ-like when you're unforgiving. I am so far from Christ-like when I am unforgiving. We must learn to forgive by following Jesus Christ. I mean, honestly, all the WWJD stuff that goes on, you know, what would Jesus do? Really? Here's what He would do. He would forgive. Here's what He would do. He would say, I forgive you. Here's what He would do. He would die for you. Forgive by following, being conformed to the image of His Son. Do you know this? Jesus never said these words. He never said, Father, forgive me. Never said it. Look it up. He never said, Father, forgive me. Jesus, I'm talking about the one that we are to follow. Jesus never said, Father, forgive me. It is not Christ-like to be forgiven. It is Christ-like to forgive. Oh, you know, I ask the Lord to forgive me all the time. Well, that's not a Christ-like thing. Jesus never asked the Lord to forgive Him. But I'm going to tell you what He did do. He forgave. And, you know, we want to talk about being good Christians, and we want to talk about walking with God, and we want to talk about, you know, pleasing the Lord. And there is no way in this world you and I are going to please God when we have bitterness towards somebody, when we are not willing to forgive. We're not going to do it. You say, well, you know, it's warranted, and this happened and that happened. Does not matter. I don't think anybody here has ever hung on a cross. I know I haven't. Forgive by following, even as Christ. Even as Jesus forgave, that's how we forgive. It might be a mom, it might be a dad, it might be grandma and grandpa, it might be a brother, a sister, a neighbor, somebody you work with, it might be somebody here in the church, it might be somebody in your school, it might be somebody that is a relative or somebody that's not related at all. But whatever it is and whoever it is, you, for your sake, for His sake, need to forgive them. Number one, forgive by following. Number two, forgive by fact. Forgive by fact. Here's the fact, all right? We are sinners. And we had to be forgiven or we would go to hell. That's just the facts. Okay, look, all over this room, we're all sinners here. We all deserve to go to hell. And we had to be forgiven or we would go to hell. Look, if you will, at Matthew 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we, do you see it? As we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, I just wish that person would suffer. I'll show them. I wish they were dead. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is that what you want? How you want Jesus to forgive you? Because he can make us dead. And he can make us suffer. But as he hung on the cross, he didn't. As he hung on the cross, he did not smite those that hated him. He did not hurt those who cursed him. He did not cause damage to those who injured him, who hung him on a tree, who killed him. He didn't do that. Instead, he forgave them. The fact is, we're all sinners. And we had to be forgiven. And by the way, we often slip. I won't forget Ray Young's message that he preached recently. You know, our cart bumps into their cart. Yeah, and everybody's done that. And you know what? You want people to forgive you, don't you? But you're just going to hold it in, right? Thank God he didn't. How to forgive? By following. Forgive by fact. Number three, we need to forgive to fix. Never preached this before. It kind of hit me. But notice what Jesus says. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, here he is. He's forgiving. Why? They know not what they do. Oh, they knew what they were doing. Don't call God a liar. I'm going to tell you. The people there around the cross and that fella that took a nail and nailed it into the hand of Jesus and came over here and nailed it into his other hand and nailed it into his feet, that fella needs fixed. That fella that took that cat of nine tails, and I guarantee he was a trained soldier, he knew how to use that thing and literally ripped Jesus to shreds, that fella needs fixed. That fellow that looked up and said, Hey, you saved others. Save yourself, buddy. He needs fixed, don't you think? Those who beat him with their fists, those who spat upon him, they need fixed. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I got news for you. When you think about this, when you are wronged, the wronger needs fixed. Would you agree? I mean, somebody purposely hurt you. Don't you, wouldn't you agree they need fixed? Wouldn't you agree that they've slipped, they've fallen, they've messed up, they did wrong, whatever it is. Wouldn't you agree they need fixed? Yeah, something's broken in them, right? Maybe they're not saved. Yeah, it's amazing to think that a Christian would have aught against an unsaved person to the point that you would just as soon them go to hell rather than you forgive them. That's unbelievable. And so opposite of Jesus. It's unbelievable that we might say, you know, I love God and I want to please God, but I just hope that person goes to hell because they did me wrong. How wicked, how selfish, and how ungodly that is. And how unchristlike that is. No, we forgive to fix. Recently, of course, we had our wonderful ice storm. Power lines were broken to the house. And literally, they needed fixed, right? Many, many folks, power lines needed fixed. And, but here's a lot of Christians' philosophy on that. Here's a house where our power lines are down. And so you take a sledgehammer and you just start beating on the house. That's a great idea. That isn't what we do, though, is it? No, we fix it. Some of you get mad enough, you take a bulldozer and just bulldoze down the house. That doesn't do any good either. So your car quits working, you take a hammer out and bust out the windows, right? No, you get it fixed. You get it fixed. If somebody does you wrong, why not fix them? Why not help them? Why not help them not to do wrong? Well, because I'm angry at them. I'm mad at them. But Jesus said they know not what they do. Next time your computer does something weird, unless you're on staff here, take a hammer and just beat on it. Notice I said, unless you're on staff here. Because that would be me in just a few. No. But the computer always does weird stuff. I think they're taking over the world, to be honest with you.
Amen.
But look, why not fix that which is broken? Why not try to fix it? You know, instead of trying to destroy it, fix. See, Jesus wanted to fix the ones that hated him. He said, how do you know? Because I'm one of them. And he's fixing me. Thank God for that. See, your problem is you don't think the person that did you wrong can be fixed. Hello? You don't think that person that hurt you, you don't think they can be fixed. You're not like Brother Hawkins, who prayed for and talked to a person that hurt him because he wanted him to be fixed. Well, I just assume they just go to hell anyway. You're so far from being like Jesus, because he stayed there so they wouldn't go to hell. He stayed there so you and I wouldn't go to hell. He stayed there. He could have come down. He could have wiped them all out. He could have put them all on their own cross. But he wanted to fix them. He wanted to fix me. He wants to fix you. And that's what we need to do. That should be our attitude. When somebody hurts you and somebody wrongs you, you forgive to fix whatever it is that is going on. Number one, forgive by following. Number two, forgive by fact. Number three, forgive to fix. Number four, forgive by faith. And that is so important. Let me ask you a question. Is God in control or not? Without faith, it's impossible. I remember the first time I saw that verse, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Without faith, you can't do it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe this, but then you are not, it is not going to be possible for you to please God if you don't have faith. It's impossible. And forgiveness requires faith. It really does. The story goes on here in Luke. Verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. One out of two got saved. 50%. One man recognized, hey, I put him there. I deserve to hang on this cross. I deserve to die. I know what I am. The other guy just laughed and mocked him. But both of those men heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Both of those men heard that. your forgiveness could fix somebody's life. Because it gets God involved by forgiving. It's by faith. You know, I don't like what happened, but I'm going to forgive them. I am going to forgive them. God, help me to forgive them. Because there are more important things involved in this than just my feelings getting hurt or my life being turned around a little bit or messed up. It's so much bigger than all of that. And God, I'm going to forgive them because somebody could get saved out of that. Somebody's life could be transformed out of that. That unsaved worker, that unsaved person that you work with, an unsaved relative, you haven't talked to him in years. And you're, boy, I'm going to let him know that I'm mad at him. And how much of God's will is being done through that? You're turning your nose up at people. How much of God's will is going to be done? And how many others are going to follow you with their nose upturned? And how many people will go to hell because of it? And how many people will be out of the will of God because of it? See, somewhere along the line, it's just a matter of saying, you know, by faith, I'm going to forgive. By faith, I'm going to trust you to take care of this. God said, vengeance is mine. God's word, it says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God will deal with it. What should I do? The Christ-like thing, forgive. That's the Christ-like thing. To say, I forgive. Forgive by following. Forgive to by fact. Forgive to fix. Forgive by faith. Number five, forgive with favor. Because this amazes me. Jesus not only forgave, but he's providing salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace. Favor. God's favor. Those who cursed him, those who beat him, those who nailed him, do you understand? They could go to heaven now. Any one of them. I mean, Jesus' beard is pulled from his face, and whoever has a handful of that beard, that person could live in a mansion in heaven and may be there when you get there. Are you listening? And Jesus knew that as he hung there. He knew that in his forgiveness there was grace. Not just the mercy of forgiveness, but grace. Forgive with favor. Look at Matthew 7, verse 12. By the way, Debbie Milner, here's another verse for you. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, I told you it was in Matthew. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. I hate you! Oh, is that what you want people to do, is hate you? I'm going to flatten your tires. Oh, so you're wanting your tires all to be flat? Is that it? I'll get even. Oh, so you're wanting somebody to get even with you. All the people you've wronged, you'd like all of them to get even with you, maybe all at once, or would you like it over time? We'll go back into your childhood. We'll find everybody you did wrong, all the girls you put their hair in ink, and I guess some of you are that old, but I don't even know why that came to mind. But all the times you tripped somebody, all the things you put in people's lockers, all the different things that you did, I'm thinking back to some of the things I did. I don't ever want to see that. Well. That fellow, we put those fish in his mailbox and it was 90 degrees outside. I don't ever want anybody to do that to me. I've apologized to him since then. Yeah, thanks. All right, what would you like? Well, I would never do anything that, no, you have. What would you like people to do to you? Forgive with favor. What would you like to receive? Well, I guess I'd like people to forgive me and be my friend. Yeah, then you forgive and be somebody's friend. Amen. By the way, this is just rubber to the road Christianity here. Okay, it's not smoking and drinking and R-rated movies and all that kind of stuff. It's just where we live. I guarantee there's a whole bunch of people, you don't do anything wrong except you have bitterness right here. You don't have a whole bunch of other things. I mean, nobody, your computer's clean. You don't have any bad stuff. You don't watch bad stuff. You don't go bad places. But in your heart, there's somebody, and you are absolutely unforgiving toward them. And that, my friend, is unchristlike. And it's just as unchristlike as looking at pornography on the internet. Forgive with favor. How can I help them? What can I do for them? And then number six, forgive for freedom. This is so good. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 15. Forgive for freedom. Hebrews 12, verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness. A root that wraps around your foot, around your leg, around your life, and it just holds you back. And it just holds you there. That's why so many into their old age, you'll go to a nursing home or you'll talk to some folk, and I mean, they are just bitter and nasty and just grouchy. You know what happened? I'm talking about something that happened to them years and years ago, and that root just holds on to them. And then you talk about the joy of the Lord, and there's no joy. You talk about the things of God, and there's no thrill. You forgive so that root never grabs hold of you. You forgive so that you are not held back. You forgive so that you can grow. You forgive so that you can move forward and you can do what God wants you to do. The Bible says, and I'm convinced that many health problems, they're not the bladder, but they're bitter. It's not, you know, honestly, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And when you are unforgiving toward other people, you do not have a merry heart. Yes, I said it's not the bladder, but you're bitter. I did say that. My wife, I can tell, she's looking at Dave like, I don't think he meant that. He meant that. You all right? All right. Anyway. Amen. You know, we talk about in Christ, we're free. But there's countless numbers of Christians in our world that are not free. Because a root of bitterness holds them down. And I'm going to tell you something. It will ruin your life. How sad to allow an old root of bitterness to hold you down and hold you back. And it's just a matter of forgiving. Well, I'll show them. I'll teach them. I'll ignore them. I won't talk to them. That'll teach them. They'll learn their lesson. No, my friend. I'm going to tell you this. You're the one that will suffer. And everyone around you will be the ones to suffer, not them. Unless they also have a root of bitterness. Forgive for freedom. To be free. To be free. You say, boy, I got saved and I quit smoking. Praise God, I'm free of nicotine. Amen. I got saved, quit drinking liquor. Praise God, I'm free of alcohol. Got saved and got rid of all the pornography. Hallelujah! I'm free of all that stuff. But to be free of that and to have a root of bitterness? Do you know nowhere in the Bible does it say that all these other things have a root? But one does. And it's bitterness. And to be free of that is to forgive. Just forgive. Forgive by following. Forgive by fact. Forgive to fix. Forgive by faith. Forgive with favor. Forgive for freedom. And then the last thing, number seven, and this is so important, forgive to forget. Now, listen to me. I've heard people say that, well, you never forget. All right, here's the key. Okay, you either have a scab or a scar. That's all there is to it. Now, it's your choice. I've often mentioned the bicycle wreck I had, and I had this terrible scar here on my elbow. And elbow's a bad place to have a... I had a cut on my elbow, and it was bleeding real bad and everything. It was really dramatic. But an elbow's a bad place because, you know, it starts to heal, and about that time you go and break it open, it bleeds all over the place again, and then you pick at it and mess with it and everything. But a scab, you keep picking at it, and it keeps hurting. But you know, on that same elbow, there's a scar there from that scab, and it's just a scar. Now, if I ever get where I could see it again, which I can in a mirror, it reminds me of what happened, but it doesn't hurt. And you know what? It's never going to hurt again, because all it is a scar. The difference between this scar and a scab is the scab hurts. The scar doesn't. And I'm going to tell you, when you don't forgive somebody, you have a scab. And you just keep picking at it. Every time you see them, you pick it again. Every time you hear about them, you pick it again. If something good happens to them, you're mad and you pick it again. And you injure it again, and you injure yourself again, and it hurts again, and it hurts again, and it hurts again, and it hurts again. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather just have a scar. It'll remind me. I won't forget it completely, but I'd sure rather have the scar over the scab. Amen. Yeah, the scar on my elbow doesn't hurt anymore, but it reminds me. But you folks that can't forgive, you just pick and pick and pick and pick at that scab, and you get madder and madder and madder and madder. And how sad. That is not what God has for you at all. Jesus in heaven, I believe we'll see the scars from the cross. So we'll never forget. We'll never forget who put him there. But death's sting is gone. And it's gone because of the cross. And it's gone because of, Father, forgive them. You want to get that sting of whatever happened out of your life? There's only one way to do it. You have to forgive. You have to die to self and say, not my will, thy will be done. I forgive. And do it. Everybody in this room, honestly, there's things that happen to us. There's things that have happened to us. Somebody has slipped and they've landed right on us. And it's affected us in one way or another. Let me just close with this. How do you forgive? Do it the way Jesus did. Do it the way Jesus did. And you come and you say, God, I can't do this myself. I can't. You can't. But through him, you can. And it all starts with you just being willing to say, I forgive. I forgive. Let's bow our heads, please.